Thanks for joining me. It is a delight to be here with you today and to be able to pray. Before we start, I'll tell you something very quickly. A friend of mine, actually, he gave me my start in talk radio years ago, former NBC producer, heard about a position that was opened in radio. I'll share the story another day with you, but I really owe him a debt of gratitude because God used him to put me behind a microphone, and here I sit today. And he called me, and he actually won the Powerball lottery. He won it in Mexico, so I don't know how many pesos that translated it into U.S. dollars, but it was millions, right? And the man gave away his wealth. I mean, the man literally spent probably a decade giving away his money. He was a big devotee of Divine Mercy and built a statue dedicated to Divine Mercy. He started these Eucharistic adoration chapels dedicated to the Blessed Sacrament. And he called me. He says, "Drew, do you know what today is?" I said, "No." He says, "It was on this day in the year 1988 that the world's first chapel of perpetual adoration of Divine Mercy for the sick and the dying was established. It was established in a place called St. Agnes Parish in Chicago Heights." And it made me think of what St. Faustina went through. And I'll tell you very briefly. We'll talk about this. We're going to talk about loss and suffering maybe a little bit later if you're going through a difficult time. But I think of mothers who sometimes make the mistake of abortion and the pain that follows them. And gentlemen, you know the same thing. Maybe it was your girlfriend. Maybe you encouraged it. Maybe you regret it now. St. Faustina, on at least three occasions that I'm aware of, between the hours of 8 and 11 o'clock at night in the evening, would feel like her insides were being torn apart. And she suffered so much that she literally thought she was going to die. I mean, her mother superior had doctors come in to look at her and figure out what was going on. They gave her all sorts of medication. Nothing would alleviate the suffering. And later, the Lord let her know. She came to understand that she was to undergo those pains for mothers who were aborting their children. You can read about it. It's in her diary entry. I think it's 1276. But John Paul II gave an apostolic blessing. He did this in the year March 25th, the anniversary of the consecration, right? That he did in 1985 on 2003 on that feast day, to anybody who would pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy to end abortion and the culture of death, if you'd pray for these five intentions. And they, as a result, had set up all these Eucharistic adoration chapels. You go into them, there's a special apostolic blessing that you'll get in these chapels. And the Holy Father asks us to pray for mothers. One, that they don't abort their offspring. Two, for infants in danger of being put to death. There's a lot of mothers right now thinking about ending that life. They think it's going to ruin their future. And I say to you, it will not. It's a blessing. The third thing he asked for, just a change of heart for the providers of abortions and anybody who collaborates in that culture of death. And then the fourth one was for the human victims of stem cell research and genetic manipulation and cloning and euthanasia. And the final one was trusted with the government of peoples, those who are in administration, those who hold power, that instead of promoting death like we are now seeing, right? We talk about that, the legislation that's being passed and the states that are enshrining this in their constitution. We need to pray for them. And these are the intentions. And the Father, the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, offered a special apostolic blessing. So I want to share one thing out of diary entry 1276, and then we'll pray. I got a couple special friends in the studio with me today. I'll read right from the diary. "Calling to remembrance the participation of our Lord's agony in Gethsemane of St. Maria Kowalska of the Most Blessed Sacrament, who thrice in her lifetime willingly accepted the violent pains that convulsed her for 3 hours and at times caused her to lose consciousness as allowed by Jesus in order to offer reparation to God for infants murdered in their womb." It's diary entry 1276. Amazing story. Look it up, but let's pray for that today, okay? And I want to pray for anyone who suffered loss. I'm going to share with you an email I received from a listener who lost her husband after having prayed and prayed and prayed, and her prayers didn't seem to resonate. And I know we all have that experience, right? You wonder why God did not hear your particular prayer. So I want to pray for anyone suffering the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child, loss of a business, or a relationship, whatever it might be. And we'll take your calls too, but I got the distinct privilege today of having in studio with me a voice I know you will recognize. That's Dr. Bob Tabali, right? He's our infectious disease doc. He stops by all the time. He stopped by the studio today. We're going to go grab dinner afterwards, and he brought with him a mutual friend of ours. His name's John Schaefer, and I got to meet John on a pilgrimage years ago, and John and I have had the privilege, along with Dr. Tabali, to to literally travel around the world together on these pilgrimages. I often say when you travel together, you become lifelong friends. And I consider Bob a friend. I consider John a friend. And they weren't too far. I said, why don't you guys come in? We'll pray the chaplet, right? And then we could talk a little bit. We'll go grab something to eat afterwards. And Bob, it's good to have you in studio with us today. Normally we do it remotely, but good to have you in studio.
Yeah, it's a beautiful studio. Boy, I want to thank all the listeners who've donated to help make this happen. It's just really kind of a state-of-the-art affair for Catholic broadcasting.
It is. I always believe God deserves the best, right? We have to be humble in all things, but this studio, cutting edge, and I know God has got great things. We continue to reach new souls. We're in Tucson, Arizona now. We'll be going into a few new cities in the not-too-distant future, so I know God's using us. Now, I'll take you around. I know you just got here, so I'll show you the facility. John, it's good to have you with us. I know our spiritual family here prayed for your wife, Susie. Susie, you might remember we asked everyone to pray for her. She came down with a very aggressive form of cancer, and it took her, in what, 3 months, was it? How long was it?
4 months.
4 months, and it was devastating. John wrote that beautiful letter, that beautiful piece. I don't know how to describe it, called The Luckiest Man. Maybe I should share that again today. We'll have to see. But John, it's good to have you in here with us.
Thanks.
Anything you want to pray for as we begin?
Yes. Susie used to say that we should take a trip up to Green Bay when you were up there.
Right.
And just show up one day and see if we could pray the chaplet with you.
Right.
Now, we never got a chance to do that.
Yeah.
But my intention now is that Susie is listening in the communion of saints.
Amen to that.
And
Bob, what about you? Anything you want to pray for?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but my mother-in-law took ill suddenly a bit ago, and my wife had to travel back to Japan, and she's mother's has a serious kidney problem, and she's going to be admitted to a hospital tomorrow with a biopsy, and probably going to. They're told that she's going to have to stay in the hospital for a month to 2 months.
Wow.
And so my wife is really distraught, and you know, I wish I could help more than I can, but I'd like to lift up my mother-in-law, Hitomi, who's not yet a Christian, but I pray that God will reveal himself to her.
We'll pray for her conversion, that's for sure. Bob married a beautiful Japanese professor, right?
Yes.
That's good. Yes. All right, well, let's pray. We'll pray right now. John, do me a favor. Pull your microphone a little closer to you, too, so we can get it. You can just pull it right towards, I think you have some space there.
Okay.
But we'll pray right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
And now Maggie's got a lot of your intentions coming in on Twitter. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. And I want to thank John Harper, my former colleague here at Relevant, one of the great guest hosts. He sent me a text telling me that Cardinal Justin Mergali has been hospitalized following an apparent heart-related issue. This took place, I guess, on Monday. He's awake and alert and resting comfortably, but we want to pray for him. and pray for his continued health. He's 87 years old, and when you're 87, the slightest thing can really have a profound impact on your health. So a lot of important intentions coming in as well. But let's take our first one. This comes from Minerva. She's praying in Austin, Texas with us. Minerva, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thank you for taking my call. I want to pray for my mommy. My mommy been sick 6 months ago in Mexico. And she's in the hospital. So, and I would like to pray for her.
Wow. We will we'll pray for her.
One of my brother in California, mm-hmm. he's not being good either. He's taking drugs. And one of my brothers disappeared and stayed in Michoacán. Okay. So I want to pray for my whole family, Carrillo Amezcua.
All right, Minerva.
And my family, Angel, and Arriaga, and everybody for the whole world.
All right.
Please.
No, you got it. Hang in there, okay? We will pray for your mother in particular. I know you're going through a difficult time. We'll pray for those addicted to drugs, too. I mean, that is such a... I hate to say it's rooted in the demonic, but I really believe it is. I mean, I just see how it destroys families and lives. I just pray for healing and liberation from anyone that is dealing with addiction in their family. I lift that up. And for all of family issues, so many of us have issues that we pray for. And I give you Minerva's heart, Lord, and we turn to you, united with everyone who's now praying with us. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Loriana. She's praying in San Diego, California. Hi, Loriana.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Drew. I'm praying for my cousin Yulo that I called last year in March. He had fallen and broken his neck bone and his spinal cord. They operated on him, and now he's very ill and sick. He has a collapsed lung and can't get rid of his carbon dioxide, nor can he eat because his muscles won't let him. And so I want all the pray warriors to pray for him for a peaceful passing and that God's will that he has one.
All right. Well, we'll lift him up right now, Loriana. Thank you very much for your call. I'm sorry to hear what your cousin is going through. And I do pray for those approaching the threshold of eternity, the threshold of eternal life. And Lord, I just ask you meet them as a merciful Savior. At the same time, I just ask that in our final hour, you do the same. And I lift up all those who are in critical condition now and who are in most need of your healing. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to our next call, Carol's listening to us in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Maggie is monitoring our Twitter, and I know a lot of people put their intentions up there. You can do that at Drew Mariani Show. It's the best way to do it. You can also follow me personally at Drew Mariani and just share those intentions, and Maggie will bring them to our family here to pray. What's coming on? What's going on, Maggie? What can we pray for?
So many needs coming in, Drew. Maria from Texas asks for prayers for her 14-year-old granddaughter. She's addicted to drugs, and her parents are having a really difficult time with her. She's 14. gosh, pray for her healing. Aaron wrote to us and said, prayers for Father Jim from Chicago, who will undergo an angiogram today, possibly an angioplasty tomorrow. Thanks. Mary wrote to us and said, please pray for newborn Hayden, who will be on life support for 12 days after having heart surgery. Parents and big brother are struggling really bad. Anonymous wrote to us and said, if it's not too late, please pray for young lady Christy, who's in critical condition after a fall and some brain bleed might be possible. She has memory loss. The next 48 hours are really critical. We need to lift up Mary and her family for reconciliation of her family. And also, this was on a lot of people's hearts today. If you listened to the family rosary last night, Zachary called in at the last second. He was asking for his daughter's mom to get clean off of drugs so that she could come back to them. So I want to lift that up. And lastly, Drew, a lot of people responded to our question on Twitter yesterday asking, why aren't young Catholics getting married? There were a lot of single people raising their hand and saying, I'm single, I'm searching and praying for my spouse. So I just want to lift that up as well.
Well, thanks for doing that, Maggie. A lot of intentions coming in. Valjean just texted or emailed. He's praying for mother, a young mother of five children. She's been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. The children have not been told. And she is he is begging for the Divine Mercy family to pray. Also, Steve said, my wife and I are getting divorced, Drew. We were married 27 years. I need a miracle. Also, hey, Drew, Maggie, and everyone working to put this chaplet of Divine Mercy on the air. God bless you all. My prayer request is for a missing person. The Mille Lacs Tribal Police Department has requested assistance in locating a 47-year-old named Dylan James Sam, last seen on November 29th. Sam is 5'7", 150 pounds, last wearing a green jacket. Anyone who knows his abouts, please let the police know. But let's pray, because I know how effective the Divine Mercy Chaplet is in helping those who are missing come home. So we'll lift that up, and all of your intentions. We'll add Carol, who's in Eau Claire, to this third decade. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Carol. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I called in before, and I suffer from severe anxiety, and now I'm starting to get depression. And I know you told me to go to Adoration, but I'm on medication, and I can't drive right now. Okay. But I pray at noon, and I pray with Father Rocky, and I love Relevant Radio. I'm praying all the things I can. I got the Mariani here, and... I need help for my doctors to help me to get me on the right medication.
All right. Well, let's pray for you, Carol. I know you're carrying a heavy cross. Doesn't seem to be going away. You can't drive. You can't get to Adoration. I'm glad you pray with us every day. I'm glad you pray with Father Rocky. Put your trust in the Lord. That's all you can do, is really just trust in the Lord. St. Faustina said sometimes another very effective thing in bringing you peace and consolation, and is incredibly efficacious, is meditating on the passion of the Lord. Meditate on his wounds and what he endured for you. Really ask him to heal your wounds. And Lord, I give you anyone suffering from anxiety, from depression, from loneliness, anyone who's got health issues, anyone right now who just really needs your mercy, who feels burned out, feels they're not getting the answers. We bring them to you as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, up next is Nathan praying in Clover, Wisconsin. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Drew, Bob, and Jim. I'd like to get prayers for my mother. I stood in front of her within the last half hour when she received the diagnosis of cancer. Oh. She's a a tough, pro-life fighter, and I know I have to have confidence in the Lord. Pray, hope, and don't worry. And, well, I'd like to extend prayers with the whole prayer army we have here at Relevant for my mother, please. Monica, thank you.
You got it, Nathan. I'm sorry to hear about that. I really, really am. That's tough. Cancer's so wretched. And Lord, I just pray against those cancerous cells right now. I pray for his mother. I pray for anyone who's been given the diagnosis, anyone who's dealing with chemo, anyone who's in radiation, anyone who's got immunotherapy. I just pray for the success of the natural means. But Lord, if it be your will, we pray for miracles too, that you touch, you heal, and you restore. For those who you will use cancer as a doorway to eternal life, Lord, I pray for their families who suffer in their own special way. Give them all grace as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Hey Maggie, you just got another message you want to share?
I do. A really close family friend. His name's Tim Morin. He's given a lot to people through prayer, and I just want to lift him up. He needs healing really bad. I want to pray for peace and healing for Tim.
I will lift him up, and let's go to Kathleen in Maryland. She's joining us now, too. Hey, Kathleen, good evening or good afternoon.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm well.
I would like to pray for my son, Alex. He's been away. I haven't seen him since my mother died in 2013, but maybe a half an hour, about 6 months ago. He's been away from the church since he was 14 years old. I tried with all, he got all of his sacraments. I did everything I was supposed to do as mom, except I wasn't able to instill in him the value of the faith, and it really breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And I am so worried about him because I haven't seen him. And as a mom, I feel like I've completely failed. I've got four children, and he's the only one that doesn't attend church.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do.
Well.
So I ask you to pray for me. Thank you.
Kathleen, a couple things here. First, you are not alone. And I want you to know, you know how many mothers and fathers are just re-echoing your same prayer? I can't tell you, right? I've got family members that are in the same situation. Look, we all as parents do our very best. And I'm sure you are a wonderful mother. You instill the faith. You show the example. And you educate your kids in the faith. But the culture is a very powerful place. And I don't want you to beat yourself up. What I want you to do is offer your tears and offer your suffering for the conversion of your child, because God hears those prayers. Just as he heard Monica's prayers, the mother of Augustine, I know he hears your prayers. I said to my wife the same thing. You know, all of our kids aren't saints. I got one child that's going to be a nun, and I've got another son that, you know, I pray for every day. You know, so you've got these extremes. I've got a brother who's the antithesis of what I am. So, I mean, you know, every family has these issues. All you can do now, you instill those values, you know, we pray and we educate and we show the example. All you can do now is pray for your kids. Any parent right now that has a child away from the faith and you feel like you failed, we all could have done better, I'm sure. But you can't beat yourself up over it. Where you are now is where you are. And all you can do is pray and fast and sacrifice and entrust your child to God's mercy. And I guarantee you, God will prevail. You know, 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your worries upon him because he cares for you. God cares for you. You know, in Philippians, it says, have no anxiety at all, but put everything in prayer and petition and in thanksgiving and make your requests known to God, and God will come through for you. Stand on those scriptures. Stand on the promises of divine mercy. And I guarantee you that child will come about. Kathy in Secaucus, New Jersey. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. So nice for you to take my call. I'm calling for my dear friend below, who has a grandson who has just is 9 years old and he's been diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. Wow.
Tough diagnosis. Oh, let's pray, Kathy. We'll lift him up right now. And I want to pray not only for him, but for you. I want to pray for Ricardo and Teresa and Rachel and Alicia and for Frank and Marie and Janet and Stephen and Graciela and everyone else that's on my call screen right now and everyone who's written and everyone united to me, wherever they may be. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers. Read our hearts. Grant us the grace to carry our crosses, to submit to your holy will, and allow us to see the tangible results of these prayers. Let us see the power of your mercy. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Bob, who's one of your patron saints?
Father Sam Mazzucchelli and St. Rocco.
Yeah, pray for us. I know you love both those guys. And John?
St. Catherine of Siena.
Oh, I like her. Pray for us. All you ancient saints, pray for us. In the name of Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Bob, we'll have to talk a little bit about St. Rocco. Not everybody knows that story. And you and I share a passion for Mazzucchelli. He's venerable now or servant of God?
Venerable.
He's venerable, Mazzucchelli. And I think he's a future saint. And I often call upon those blesseds and venerables and servant of gods like Blessed Sopochko for their intercession. Powerful stuff. When we come back, I want to share a letter that came in. It kind of touched me. I read it last night. John, I think you can relate to this. Bob, I'm sure you can relate to this. You'll learn a little bit about Dr. Tabali today. You'll hear a side of him outside of medicine that you may not have heard before. And if you are suffering a loss, I really encourage you to stay here with me. I'm going to take a short pause, but I'll be back with more right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
You are not alone. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, hey, thanks for joining me today. It is it's a delight to be here with you today. I've got the unique privilege of having in studio with me Dr. Robert Tabali. You know him. He's our infectious disease doc and has guided us all throughout COVID for years. We're not talking COVID today. I guess we could if you want, but I want to talk about something a little more personal. You're gonna learn something about Dr. Bob that I'm delighted he's going to share. It's intimate and it's personal and it's painful. I also have been praying a lot for a friend of mine. His name's John Schaefer, and John and Bob are friends as well. And we both met. We met. I guess our paths all crossed during a pilgrimage. We took a pilgrimage years ago, and John and his wife Susie. Such wonderful people. And I often say that when we travel together, you become lifelong friends in a lot of respects. You know, sometimes you see, those pilgrims more than you see some distant family, and you get to travel together and be together and create memories together and pray together and play together. It's a great experience. And I came to know and love John's wife, Susie. In fact, John, I was in an airport in Maine. I go there every year with some friends of mine, and I was coming back in the airport there in Portland, and all of a sudden I see this woman, Drew. I turn around. I didn't recognize your wife at first because she got her hair cut. And I'm like, right. Susie, how are you? It's one of the last times I saw her. And Susie came down with a very serious illness. And maybe for those who are listening, share a little bit about what happened.
Well, it was very sudden. Susie was a very healthy person, and she would walk 4 miles a day with her friends 3 days a week, and then 2 miles with her friend Carol 3 days a week, mm-hmm. and she was just always full of life and very very healthy and energetic, was always involved with the St. Vincent de Paul Society and the food pantry and Friends of the Poor Walk. Just always dynamic.
So what happened?
Well, last year in January, we went on a what turned out to be a 6-week road trip. Mm-hmm. And everything was fine. We ended up in California, spent a week at the beach. Drove up the coast. She wanted to meet Father Matthew Spencer.
Oh, yeah.
And we did. And
and you guys met Father, you met Dr. Paul Kengor, too, right?
Yes,
one of
we
your
have.
Previous road trips, yeah.
A couple of times, right? Yeah. And you were always her favorite, though, Drew. So.
She had good taste.
Yeah, she sure did. But when we got back in March, she began to complain about a pain in her back, and eventually it was diagnosed as pancreatic cancer.
Oh, it's such a death sentence. It's
well,
horrible.
But it was isolated, we went out to Johns Hopkins. Dr. Bob got us out there right away, and they laid out a treatment plan. I absolutely believed that she would be cured.
Yeah, you prayed hard.
Well, she was diagnosed on April 7th and passed on August 7th.
Yeah.
And yes, I... when it was determined that chemo was going to be fruitless after the third one, the cancer had spread all through her abdomen and closed off her colon and collapsed or surrounded her bladder. Yeah. And we went home on hospice, and I was convinced. Yeah. That the Lord would heal her. And I would go to Mass, and I would stare at the crucifix in the front of the church, and I would pray the centurion prayer. Lord, I'm not worthy for you to enter under my roof, but only say the word, and Susie will be healed.
Amen.
And I believed it all the way up to the end. We never even talked about her passing.
I remember the last time I came to your house.
Right.
And brought a relic of St. Faustina, and we actually prayed a chaplet together.
At 3 o'clock. Yeah. But Yes, it. But you know, she was on a plateau, as Dr. Bob described it, in hospice, and then just fell off a cliff the last week, and she had renal failure at the end, so she did not suffer too much pain, but she was gone. And it was 24 weeks this past Sunday.
John, I'm sorry. Feels like yesterday.
Yeah, well, you learn a lot about the stages of grief when you go through something like this. And yeah. I ended up in depression. I've never been a depressed person, but I knew I was depressed because I couldn't do anything. I wouldn't do anything. And then one day I decided I would go to confession, and I went, and the priest told me, you know, I told him, I said, look, I've lost my wife. We were together for 40 years, and we had a wonderful love affair for 40 years, and we did everything together, and we traveled the world, as you said, and on pilgrimages, and yep. And we had, you know.
So what did he say to you, John?
Well, I told him that I pray that the Lord will be merciful to me and have me join Susie. And he said, stop wasting your life. He said, you're still here because God is trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
So you've got to listen.
You've got a mission.
And it's so hard. So I just decided that I wasn't going to be depressed anymore. And I started getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning every morning and going to daily mass every day, doing spiritual reading.
Good.
And taking it a day at a time.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with John Shaver. He's a friend of Dr. Tabali and myself. Dr. Tabali was one of the physicians who cared for his wife. And John just lost his wife to pancreatic cancer. Also, Deacon Ed Schoner is going to be joining us. Let me take a quick break here, Maggie. When we come back, I want to talk to the deacon. The deacon lost a daughter by suicide. He wrote a book. If you're suffering the loss of a spouse, you lost a child by suicide or somebody you love, I'll get you connected to that. And we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to join in. Share what you're going through. Share how you rose above it. We'll open the phones. Dr. Dabali's got a pretty riveting story to share as well. And you can be part of the conversation here at 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining me. You know, today I want to talk a little bit about loss. I mean, in prayer too. I mean, you pray, you beg God for things. Sometimes our prayers are not answered the way we want. I had a producer who lost his daughter last year. It hasn't even been a year yet. And I shared with you a little bit about Tom. She, too, was stricken by cancer, and it took her very, very quickly. And Tom was telling me this morning, I was telling him what we're going to discuss today, and he says, you know, it was a tough Christmas for him. There's a huge absence, a void in the family and in his heart that he says won't be able to be filled. And one of the things he said he thought he'd never be doing for the rest of his life is going to the cemetery a couple times a week and visiting his daughter. You know, so it's just absolutely devastating. Of course, prayer certainly helps. Even just uttering a simple prayer like, Jesus, I trust in you in these dark moments. It's hard. I'm joined also right now, and I'll take a few of your calls. If you're on hold, we'll get you on the air. But I want to welcome Deacon Ed Schoner to the program. He's with us in the past. He knows what it's like to lose a child. And that's just something that goes against the natural order. He's a founding member of the Catholic Mental Health Ministers and Catholic Institute of Mental Health Ministry at the University of San Diego. And he's written books on suicide. He lost a daughter by suicide. And Deacon, thank you for your time, especially for your patience.
Yes. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon. For those who don't know, why don't you share a little bit of your story as well?
Sure. My daughter, Katie, was a beautiful young woman. But like many people, many of us, she lived with a mental illness, and her illness first started to come on in her late teens. She had bipolar disorder, and, you know, she was the captain of her soccer team. She was the salutatorian in high school. She was dating boys. She was had a wonderful life as a high school person, but her first attempt at suicide came right out of the blue. She had this illness, and she was in high school, and, you know, she survived that first attempt, but we as parents didn't see it coming. And the community and our neighbors and our friends, while sympathetic, didn't know how to react to this and how to respond to it. And we were just, you know, faced with this wall of silence. As they say, mental illness and suicide and things like that are not casserole illnesses. No casseroles came down the down to the street when, you know, she came out of the psychiatric hospital after that first attempt. But she led a good life. She went to college. She got a bachelor's degree from Penn State, went to Ohio State, got an MBA. But sadly, these mental illnesses can be relentless. Yeah. And despite all the best care we could give her and everything else, and she took it very seriously, at the end, they were throwing the medicine cabinet at her. The medicines just weren't responding and working. And we were praying. She was praying. She was praying novena to St. Therese. She had it on her wall. I was traveled also. I was in Rome and had one of these nice thumbs up optimistic pictures of Pope Francis. She had that in her bedroom. But, sadly, these illnesses, like I said, are relentless, and she died by suicide when she was 29 in August of 2016. And, you learn a lot from going through an experience like that, maybe not intellectually, although I have learned quite a bit about mental illness and suicide since then. But you also learn a lot about your faith and where God is, and that you're never, ever abandoned by God, and God can turn everything to the good, even the sadness, and I would say evil, of suicide, and death itself is evil. We weren't made to die. God did not create us to die, but there is sickness and illness, and I'm so sorry for your wife having passed with pancreatic cancer. There's all these things in the world, and our God's promise to us is that death is not the end, right? It's not the end. Katie hasn't stopped existing. Your wife Susie still very much exists. When someone dies, it's not like they drift off into the ether and they're no longer exist. They still very much exist. In some ways, they're closer to God than we are. So I still pray with Katie. I pray for Katie. To the extent I can, my hope is that Katie can pray for me. And I grieve her loss. We miss her dearly. But
Deacon, what are those stages of grief? I mean, John, I was impressed by finally getting out of his depression and being able to move forward. Faith was a huge instrument in that. I'll share an email in maybe a few moments that I got from a woman who just can't seem to get beyond that. What are the stages of grief, and how can you, I don't know if it's possible, to progress through them more quickly, if possible?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things after Katie's death is I'm involved with a grief support group, so you can turn it to the good, your grief and your sorrow, and to help other people. And I have people in our grief support group, facilitators and leaders that have experienced the loss of a spouse and a child. So we deeply understand this, and we can turn our loss and understanding into helping others. So what I have since learned about grief, we're very well studied and researched, those of us that are grieving and have lost someone, sociologists and psychologists, we've been widely studied, and the grief process is well documented. Human beings, we need to grieve. That's part of how we find healing. And it's not so much linear steps where you go from shock and denial to deep feelings to depression to a reorganization organization and then a place of some sort of stability. It would be nice if you go from step one to five and, you know, then you're on your way. It's more like you bounce back and forth. There's different stages and you can start feeling better and then you'll slip back into another stage. Yeah. What you need to be careful for, Bob was describing how you got into the state of depression, you were able to get out of this state of depression by getting up and going to Mass and starting to pray. And that's how you know you're not in a clinical depression. You're in a situational depression after the loss of a loved one, but you're still able to take care of yourself, you know, take care of your hygiene, you know, get up the will and go to Mass. It might be hard to do it, and so maybe you can't do it every day, but you can start to get back into life and doing normal things. What I would say is be careful if you get stuck. And you're not taking care of yourself, you can't get out of bed, things like that. There's no shame. You're not a bad Catholic if you go see a counselor and a therapist and to try to you unstuck and get out of this deep type of clinical depression. But most of us in grief can move through that. It might take time. And I know in my case, you know, it's jeepers. I still miss Katie, and there'll be days when I still tear her up and cry because you never get over it, but you do learn to live with it. As time goes by, you learn to live with it. And God, we have a wonderful God that can heal us and be present to us.
Amen. Let me take a few calls, too. And Dr. Bali, feel free to chime in. I want to get your story in a few moments. Who's up first, Ann or Mary? Ann in Florida. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, Drew. It's Ann. And I met you at the main airport with my sister, Susie.
Oh, wonderful to have you calling in.
Yes. I know that John was talking about his grief, and my other sister, who's still alive, and one of my brothers, we were all saying how hard it was that we just couldn't move on.
Yeah.
And so the stages of grief, I know, is really important to understand where you're at. But I had a little breakthrough after Christmas. I was sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament at my church, and I was thinking about Susie, and I just thought, wow, you know, how blessed was she that she had time to prepare for her death.
Amen.
And when I was visiting with her before she died, I said, you know, are you offering your sufferings up for the salvation of souls? And she says every day, every hour. And sometimes she said every minute.
Wow.
And I go, that is, you know, that's the way to go. And so she had time to think and get ready to prepare her soul. And my son, who's a priest, went and gave her the last rites in the Vatican and had a beautiful time with the family and Mass. And after that, she was ready. And I thought, wow, what a blessing. And that's one of the promises of the rosary. She was always devoted to the rosary.
Yeah.
And one of the promises of the rosary is you will not die without the sacrament.
That's right.
It's a beautiful promise. So I just encourage everybody to, you know, take the time, talk to God, go to Mass, and pray the rosary.
Amen to that, Anne. And John, that's your sister-in-law, right?
Right.
So
right.
She's here. Yeah, I often say the same thing, Anne, though. I mean, I say to my wife, I don't want to die in my sleep. I don't want to die in a car accident. I don't want to die quickly. I would rather even have a little bit of I don't want to suffer. But if if that happens, it can become meritorious. I'd much rather prepare for meeting God than to die very quickly like that. So, you know, there is a grace in that. And the fact that she made it meritorious, she offered it up for the souls in purgatory. Well, what a holy woman she was. And I'm sorry for your loss, Anne, but I'm glad that you're doing a little bit better.
Yes, thank you, Drew. Thank
John,
you.
John, did you God want to say anything to Anne?
Yeah, Anne, it gives me great comfort to know that Susie is in the communion of saints. That was, as you know, one of our favorite things about the church is the communion of saints. And every time we were out in California, we would take time to go to Our Lady of the Angels Cathedral. Where
you took me there one time, remember?
I did, and on both sides of the walls of the cathedral, looking down at the altar, are those wonderful tapestries. Yep. 20 feet high, with depicting the communion of saints, all in prayer, facing the altar.
That's beautiful. Well, Ann, thank you very much for your call. I got to leave it there because I'm up against the clock. Deacon, when I come back, I want to run something by you, too. I got an email from a listener whose husband died 2 weeks before Christmas, and I guess she wrote to me, I guess, over the weekend or a couple days ago. I just responded to her yesterday, and I hope you're listening, Gail. If you are, feel free to join us. I'll take a few more telephone calls, and if you are a fan of Dr. Tabali, you'll hear his story as well. So we got a lot to get into. Stay with me. And again, if you want to join the conversation too, feel free to do that. Maybe you're in a difficult moment right now. Maybe you're struggling emotionally. Maybe you're suffering a great loss. Maybe you're angry at God. Maybe you stop praying because you feel God's failed you. Feel free to join us. The number is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this.